Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today we'll learn from Dr. Lightman how to correctly relate to ourselves, to our life, to everything about us, our qualities, our traits, to accept or not to accept ourselves. What's the right way to do it on our way to a better life? Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, today we'd like to talk about something that we're really occupied with, that almost all of us are really occupied with. I think that from very young age, we start feeling that there are things about us that we like more and we appreciate, and things that we don't really like about ourselves and that we don't accept. And the more we grow up, we're occupied with the attempt of accepting ourselves as we are, to feel complete with who we are, with what we are, with our advantages and disadvantages. And many times we feel that this is truly a painful process. It makes us feel bad, and it really makes us deal with this inner dilemma that's constantly going on inside of us. Many people take courses or see a therapist, depending on how painful it is. But also those that don't really treat it, they're really occupied by it, to try to accept myself as I am. So the first question is, maybe we'd like to try and understand, where does a person's need to accept himself come from? A person thinks that he's the only one that exists in the world, and all the rest, if they do exist, they exist in order to serve him, if he needs them. And if he doesn't need them, then they're useless. So first of all, me is me, and all the others, they're the rest. And this is what a person feels as his basic point. And therefore, he is entirely directed at strengthening this point and raising it above everything that's around him. It's our simple ego, our original nature, that directs us that way. There's nothing good or bad about it, but that's how we all are. But I think that a person that heard what we just talked about, he'd say, I'm not dealing with others. I'm dealing with my desire to feel the best I can. Yeah, but follows that by that he wants to exploit others too. So what if a person wants to feel complete now? What does it have to do with wanting to use others? Because I live in some kind of interaction with the environment, and the environment could be more or less convenient. I want to use it in order to sustain myself in a better, more convenient way, to be more respected and so on, and therefore I have demands towards my environment. Okay, so if I look at my grandma, suppose, I don't remember her asking herself whether she accepts herself, appreciates herself. She used it instinctively. So what's the difference? Because we see a tendency where people are more and more occupied with this mechanism called the self. Yeah, because our ego is constantly growing, demanding ever greater fulfillments that it needs in order to fulfill itself. And in order to fulfill itself, it also demands a greater and greater connection with the external world. And as a result, we fly to different places. We're getting news from all over the world through the internet, television, and we care about all these things. Why? Because I feel that I'm connected with all of this, that it's mine. Why do I want to know what's going on there on the other side of the world? Because in my excessive ego, I feel that it belongs to me. And this is why I listen. Otherwise, I wouldn't listen. Even the stars, where we headed with science and our research, in different directions, as deep into nature as possible, still vegetative, animate, human beings, everything. Why? Because our growing extensive ego is demanding us to investigate all of these phenomena. Why? Because it gives me a feeling that it's mine, that I need it too. If I wouldn't need it, I just walk by it without even noticing it. Okay, one more aspect. I have four children. Each of them is unique, as is, and they're very different. I understand that I, as a father, my responsibility, it's like flowers. There are different kinds of flowers. They're all different. I'm not going to ask the violets, why aren't you as beautiful as the rose, and so on. They're all different, and each flower is pretty per se. When we look at nature, you can really see that every detail in nature is beautiful, as is. When I look at human society, suppose I'll take myself as an example. I have four children, and each of them as if comes from a different world. Now it's important for me that on the one hand, each of them will realize the entire potential given to them by nature, and for them to feel that you as you are, and she is, and so on, it's fine, and just go and grow and develop from this point on. Meaning, there's a feeling that a person doesn't know how to correctly relate to the shape in which nature has created him. Suppose I have certain qualities, you have different qualities, she has other qualities. I feel that what you got from nature is a basic kit, and it's not good or bad. This is who you are, who she is, and so on, and go and grow and develop. But we're all the time dealing with looking at the package that we got and dividing it into they're the good things and they're the bad things. And the bad things, I'm constantly dealing with them. So my question is actually, what should be our right attitude towards creation? This is a very essential and non-simple question, very personal. And this is exactly what the wisdom of Kabbalah deals with. What we're talking about here is the realization of man. To bring a person to his complete and full realization in a personal and a decisive way, so that in the right realization, he will become like the upper force. Truly so. And therefore, this method is called the revelation of the Creator to man. For a man to reveal inside himself his image that's similar to the Creator, or the image of the Creator within him, which is one and the same. And this is what we have to reach. This is a very special realization of a person who then has to understand that there's nothing good or bad about him, but everything that he has, it's there in order to help him be like the Creator. As it says, may the name of the Creator be upon you. What does it mean, upon you? For me to format all of my qualities by the means that I was given, and I was given the precise means for it, and only for that, in order to be able to become like the Creator in my lifetime. And this obligation, we might say this challenge, is passed on to every person. Every person. Only people don't know that. They receive this knowledge gradually according to the level of their development, and then they come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. They go into the wisdom of Kabbalah, and gradually they're starting to feel how they're realizing it. I want to ask about this. You said anything that was given to you by nature, it's not good or bad. So now suppose I don't feel that. I feel, of course you don't, because you're not examining yourself with respect to the Creator. You're not measuring yourself towards Him, but towards the world. And towards the world, according to the times that you're living in, according to society's values, according to inner and external parameters, you look at yourself in terms of, this is good, this is bad. And so here you're between the hammer and the anvil. Really? I'll tell you what I mean. I mean that on your left, there is sitting a Kabbalist that will tell you about one method. On your right, there is a psychologist, a word that I consider as derogatory, that will tell you about a different method for your development. We want to hear what you have to say. But you understand, a person is in a kind of state here where he doesn't know what to choose, but he looks at his life through society because he wants to convince himself to be good in their eyes. He measures whether he's successful or not towards them. And to look nice in the eyes of the environment, the world, for him, it's everything. He's willing to give everything for it, just in order not to be despised, for him to be respected. You're saying about the children. What would you give for your children not to despise you? My entire life, you see? So, this is already a question. Meaning the values that you're presented with right now are more important than any other values, even more important than heaven. Really? So this is the problem. What about the appreciation of life, the meaning of life? If I'm so dependent on the opinion of those around me, and all in all, who are they? Look how a person's built that he's so dependent on his children, his relatives, those that are around him, the friends, the people of his city, of his country, the world. You can really turn a person into a rag. So let's try and understand. Now, we already understand that a person's zero. And if we develop this way, then we'll always feel bad and we'll really feel miserable, no way out. What does psychology say about this? There are many things that it says, but I'll hand them out in portions. How does it help? I'll tell you, psychology says that a baby, from the moment he's born, his brain is wired in a way for him to accept himself, love himself, care for his own needs, as a kind of survival mechanism that helps him develop, protects him, keeps his boundaries. This is how his ego is directed. Right, and this is how he's born. Later on, he goes and develops a bit. And then, even when he's still a child, he already knows how to compare. Owen explained beautifully how everyone receives like a kit. Take this. And what does it mean that he accepts it? That society formats him according to how he's supposed to be towards society. So he starts running a comparison of what do I have in my basket, what does he have in his basket, and so on. And then he's more content or less content, suppose that he makes this kind of comparison. Now, if I understand correctly, this entire comparison towards people, towards society, it's something that's wrong altogether, because you don't understand what is this set of tools that you have received altogether. The thing is, how can a person understand what is this set of tools that he has received in order to feel complete and confident? Psychologists are dreaming about it. Of course. Psychologists therapists really want to help a person feel complete, that everything's about, that everything about him, this is how it's supposed to be. Won't work. I'll tell you why is it important in psychology. It's not just to make a person feel good, because the concept is that if you don't appreciate yourself the way you are, you can't advance to the next level of your development. You're constantly stuck. Why develop? What do you mean? Why? What do I need it for? I feel that my inner protective force is telling me, what do you need all of this for? Lock yourself in. I see people, they get on the net and they're immersed there all life long. Or they go fishing, or they have some other hobby. They don't care about anything. They have some little something for life, and the rest, they don't need it. Because otherwise, I have to constantly try and adapt myself to the external world. Meaning, we're constantly trying to fit into society. No, I don't want to live in a society that I'll have to change according to society all the time, that they'll appreciate me more. What do I care? It's so exhausting and health-consuming. What do I need it for? How can I appreciate myself the way I am? So I appreciate myself by arranging a calm, tranquil life for myself. Yeah, but suppose I want to appreciate who and what I am. When I examine what I have, I divide it into good and bad things. I think it's trivial. Anyone can find good and bad things about themselves. Is this diagnosis correct or incorrect? I think that it is incorrect from both directions. What do you mean? First of all, a person can't divide himself into two parts and say that this is good, this is bad, this is impossible. Talk to anyone and you'll see. Ask a mother about her child, that she's shouting at him how bad he is, but if you say something bad about him to her, you'll see what she'll do to you. It's all relative. So, I'm only asking about a person, about himself. Impossible. A person can't measure, examine himself, just like he can't do it with respect to others, unless he searches for some kind of measure outside of himself. And this can only be the upper force. And there's only one simple way to measure this. Where behind everything that's done, inside of me and outside of me, I see the action of the upper force. And it's truly so. Where do we come from? From some idea, from some force that made everything. You can call it nature, doesn't matter. So what you just described is kind of making peace with what nature created in you. You're telling me this is how nature created me, so it's fine. Wait a second, besides one thing. What? That I have to ascribe myself to nature. This I don't understand. After everything that I have in my thoughts and desires in me and also outside of me, and all the actions that I identify outside of me, and everything that's going on, and everything that exists outside of me, I have to identify behind it all, behind what's inside of me and outside of me. I have to find behind this the one force that operates everything, both myself and also the world that's outside of me. Finding the external force that operates me, will that help me better appreciate myself? By this, I start connecting to the source of all of the reasons, of all of the qualities, of all of the actions. And then we'll see what next. But I all the time connect to it. I lock myself on it. That's it. And this way, eventually I'll feel complete with all of my parts. You know what? It's really simple. If we're talking about Jews that have to reach oneness, then what's the verse that they have to keep, have to talk about? Listen, O Israel, the Creator is our God, the Creator is one, so you know it. Yeah. So what does it have to do with our talk? So, this is what the Rabash, my teacher, told me. You see this, you see that. After everything you have to say, listen, O Michael, your name's Michael? Yes, listen, O Michael, the Creator is our God, the Creator is one, that He does this and that, and everything comes from Him, including what's inside of you. Yes, including all of your qualities and inclinations and character and everything. Yes, because I don't know what my qualities and inclinations are. I only know what I feel as a result. Okay, so if you can explain that at a moment, but before that, I look at myself and there are things that I'm happy about and things that I'm not really happy with, that I'd be glad to return. Suppose there was a return note, I'd go back to that big shop of nature and give it back, return it. So, okay, what do I do now with the Hero Israel, the Creator is our God, the Creator is one? Behind all of that, you find just one force, the Creator, and He is good that does good. But what does it mean, good that does good, if behind all of these things inside myself and outside myself I see all of these bad things? So I have to accept these things as good things. And the gap, the difference between determining the bad inside or outside of me and the good inside or outside of me, that gap I have to correct. I have to reach a state where both I and the world around me are perfect. Everything's perfect. Because everything comes from the Creator, that there is none else besides Him, the good that does good. So how do I bridge the gap from where I feel myself imperfect to a place where I do feel myself perfect? What moves me from here to there? So for this, you have to demand the correction. Correction of what? For you to feel that you are fine and that the world around you is fine. And if so, the Creator is also fine, that has created all of these things in perfection. So the demand to feel that I'm perfect, it's what? It's a kind of self-persuasion, I have to believe in? No. To the extent to which you demand for it to happen, demand what to happen? To the extent to which I demand to feel myself in perfection and the world in perfection, that I won't feel and won't say about any of my inner motions or qualities that they're incomplete, and about any external image that this is how I see the world, that something's wrong with it, but that everything's perfect, that that's all there is. And until I reach that, I can't calm down. I have to ask for corrections. Otherwise, I flaw the Creator. I pass this flaw on to Him, because there is none else besides Him. So what? Okay, let's call this the first state and the second state. In the first state, I feel that everything's very far from being perfect, inside of me and outside of me. In the second state, everything seems perfect, inside and outside of me. The transition between the initial state. By the way, this is the developmental process? Yes, meaning at the end of my developmental process, I will see that everything's perfect. Yes. But don't think that what you revealed now is all there is. You'll start revealing more and more negative things about yourself and negative things outside of yourself. Negative things. Negative things. Not good ones, but negative. Especially the negative things. And then you'll constantly ask for their correction. Okay, personal question. Regarding your characteristics, your qualities, is there a quality that you wish you didn't have? No. Is there something that you feel is negative? Of course. Give me one quality. Liar, spender, I don't even have the words to describe it all. Lazy, stupid, you name it. I think you're exaggerating a bit. No, I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you that I feel myself in all of my qualities. It's not that I'll agree with you, but I'm saying about myself that all these things exist in me in a negative way. Are you edgy? You bet. So let's talk about that. Suppose you're inclined towards edginess. you have a short fuse. Now, what did you do about this inclination? In order to go through the entire developmental process till the perfect state, in the beginning of the path, when you saw that you have this inclination, but nature created you this way, you didn't choose to be this way, you were created this way, and someone else, he was created calmer. So how did you go through this process with yourself in order to make peace with what nature gave you as a starting point and continue from there? If we're talking about the wisdom of Kabbalah and not about psychology, because what I'll talk about might also seem like psychology, but I'm starting with the point that I don't want to curse the Creator. I'm coming from the assumption that He is good, that does good, none else besides Him, and He is the absolute. Absolute. Upper force of nature. He is nature itself. And therefore, what I see in me and through me in the world, it's all in all the subject of correction. And the Creator will make this correction on condition that I'll demand this of Him correctly. What is the right way? So it won't be in order for me to feel good, but so that I'll give Him contentment. Meaning what? For Him to enjoy me just like you want to enjoy your children. Simply put, are we perfect in the Creator's eyes? We're not talking about Him. Our time's up. I have many more questions. We'll meet again. In the meantime, to accept myself correctly means what? To accept myself correctly, it means that everything that the upper force, nature, has given me, it gave it to me in order for me to bring myself to the perfect state, and I have all the means for it. And everyone else does too. Yes. And this is man's purpose in life. Everyone's purpose. Yes. There's no one flawed. No. Everyone's flawed in order to correct these flaws and achieve perfection. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.